there, and welcome back to another episode of Marketing Made Easy for HR Consultants. This week, you'll be discovering all about my favorite lead gen strategies and how you can implement them into your business to get more leads, clients, sales, and profits. But first, I just wanted to give you a quick update on where I am in the world and what I'm up to. So without further ado, let me share that with you. I've just left the beach resort of Pipa in northeast Brazil. It's a stunning spot, not overly touristy, and somewhere I can totally see myself returning to one day. It's got a very relaxed vibe about the place, and there are some shared workspaces too, so I think it'll be a perfect location to get away from the British winter. Other than considering my future, I've had a lot of beach action, so I'm super brown at the moment. There isn't anything to see as such in Pipa. It's not like Buenos Aires or Rio, but I'm fine with that. I head to Colombia soon, and I'm sure there'll be loads to see and do there. On another note, I'm still doing my daily Miracle Morning Savers as per last week's episode, so hopefully you've joined in and you're feeling the benefits too. Anyway, enough about all that. Let's get into today's topic, lead generation. This is an essential part of your HR consultancy. Everything is downstream from lead generation. And by that, I mean if you don't have any leads, then you won't have any clients, sales, or profits. Effectively, you won't have a business. So lead gen is one of the most important things you can do for your business. It's the first step of marketing, so let's jump into my three favorite methods, the advantages and disadvantages of each approach, and how you can use them today to start building up your client base. First up, cold calling. Cold calling is when you reach out to potential clients or customers who have had no prior contact with your business. They don't know you, they don't like you, and they certainly don't trust you, which means you have a lot of work to do when you get on the phone to them. Fortunately, I have a script which does just that, which is in my book and records a 50% close rate with people I speak to. And yes, I know I've mentioned I will share that script before, and in fact, I'm planning to share it in the coming weeks. But if you can't wait or you want the script written out completely, then make sure to grab a copy of my book. I'm giving my loyal podcast listeners a 50% discount for the next week. Just enter the code 50OFF at the checkout and you'll get the book for half price as well as the bonuses. Can't say fairer than that, right? Anyway, let's look at why you should be cold calling, even though I know you probably really don't want to and you've probably already switched off and said, cold calling, that's not for me. Okay, so for the first of three advantages, cold calling allows you to connect with potential customers you might not reach through other channels like cold emailing or adverts. You can have a real conversation, you can gauge their interest, and you can tailor your pitch on the spot. Unlike cold emailing or cold DMing, where responses can be delayed or ignored, the cold call, as I just said, it offers instant feedback. You'll know right away if someone is interested or not. And that allows you to adjust your approach or move on to the next prospect efficiently. To build that out a little bit, you send out a cold email. There's no adaptability. You're on a call with someone. Whatever they say, you can then change your reply depending on that to move the conversation forward where you need it to go. Speaking of which, when you engage in a phone conversation, it allows you to establish rapport and tailor your message to resonate with the individual needs and concerns of the prospect. And that personal connection, that can significantly differentiate you from everyone else's outreach efforts because no one cold calls. It's not all sunshine and roses, though. There are disadvantages to the cold calling approach. Firstly, you can be perceived as being intrusive. Let's face it, cold calls can disrupt someone's day. And if you do it poorly, then you can come across as pushy or intrusive and it can potentially damage your brand. Fortunately, you're not an idiot. So if someone tells you they're not interested, then you can just move on to the next prospect and thank them for the time. Again, there are going to be high rejection rates. The nature of cold calling means you will face a lot of rejection. People are often busy and they may not be receptive to unsolicited calls. It's important to be prepared for that and to have a thick skin. That being said, my script gives a 50% close rate of people that I speak to. Finally, cold calling can be a very time-consuming activity. You have to find the phone numbers, you have to make the calls, you have to have the conversations, and then you have to ensure you follow up as you say you will. It's obviously not as quick as sending out 500 cold emails using an automation tool. For me, I know cold calling isn't for everyone. It's scary and you feel awkward, but the reality is most people are delighted if you call them and you handle it well. If they need your help, They'll love that you've called them. And then you can either set up a follow-up call or to talk more in depth, or you can send them your lead magnet to get them onto your mailing list to nurture for potential future opportunities. And if they don't need your help, well, they're not a potential lead and you can move on with your day. And if for some really weird reason they're rude to you, which so rarely happens, then you know that they're someone that you don't want to work with and you don't have to waste any time, money or effort on them. You can just delete them from your life and move on. So yeah, for me, cold calling is definitely worth a try. Try for 5 calls a day. Visualize the calls going successfully as per the Miracle Morning. Schedule when you'll do them like you would for any other habit. Follow James Clear's advice in Atomic Habits and find an accountability buddy to hold you to account and to share your wins and your successes. And you will start building a pipeline of clients and leads. In terms of prepping for the actual calls, do your research and identify qualified leads who are likely to be interested in what you have to offer. There's no point calling people who aren't in your niche, who are super successful and have their own in-house HR team. Secondly, perfect your pitch. Develop a clear and concise and compelling pitch that addresses the prospect's specific needs and practice beforehand to sound confident and professional. As I say, I've got my script. Grab a copy of my book. The script is there, or wait for a couple of weeks and I'll share it with you. But you will have to tweak the script to be specific to your needs. Finally, be respectful of people's time. Keep your calls brief and to the point. And if someone isn't interested, thank them for the time and move on. Now let's shift gears and dive into the world of LinkedIn social selling. This approach leverages the power of LinkedIn, the world's largest professional network, to connect and build relationships with potential clients or customers. This is more of a medium-term lead gen strategy. It can work very quickly, but in most instances, it can take a while for people to trust you and for you to start generating those inbound leads, especially the people who come crawling out of the woodwork and ask for your help, even though you've never interacted with them before. In terms of the advantages of LinkedIn, I'm sure you're aware of this, but let's have a high-level overlook. LinkedIn boasts a massive user base of professionals across various industries, and that means you have access to a huge pool of potential clients who might be interested in your products and services. LinkedIn also allows you to showcase your professional background, your skills, your experience, and by sharing valuable content and engaging in industry discussions, you can establish yourself as a thought leader, build trust, and build credibility with potential clients. Finally, unlike some other social media platform, LinkedIn fosters a professional environment. This allows you to connect with prospects in a more serious setting, facilitating meaningful conversations and relationship building. Obviously, there are some potential downsides to consider. Building relationships takes time and effort. Just creating a profile and sending connection requests isn't enough. You need to consistently engage with your network, share valuable content, and participate in discussions. Be careful of spending too much time building your business on someone else's real estate, though. LinkedIn can click their fingers and delete you from their service, forcing you to start all over again. So make sure you're getting people onto your mailing list where possible. Equally, LinkedIn is a crowded space. With millions of users vying for attention, it can be challenging to make yourself heard. Developing a strong personal brand and consistently providing valuable content is crucial for standing out. And that can be difficult for those who don't know what they're doing. Finally, there's that sales stigma, the sales conundrum. There's a fine line between building relationships and selling. Coming across as too salesy can alienate potential clients. But at some point, you have to pull the trigger and move the relationship towards a potential sale, right? And it can be tricky to try to decide when to do that. Do you do it pretty quickly after connecting? Do you wait for them to start the conversation? Equally, do you go direct and say, how's your business going? Or do you need any help? Or do you go less direct and say you want to hear about their business? Alternatively, do you follow the advice of my book and send them a personalized video to get the conversation started in the right way? There are a lot of options to consider. Overall, LinkedIn social selling offers a powerful avenue for connecting with potential clients in a professional setting. By leveraging the platform's features, you can build relationships, establish credibility, and ultimately drive sales. However, it's important to be aware of the time commitment required and the need to balance sales and leads too. So if you want to explore this option today, though, I've got some tips to get you started. Make sure your profile is a magnet for potential clients. Craft a compelling headline that highlights your expertise and your value proposition. fill out your experience section with relevant details and achievements, and don't forget that professional headshot and a high-quality cover image that reflects your brand. Next, make sure to consistently share valuable content that resonates with your target audience. This could be industry insights, this could be informative articles, it could even be original video content. Engaging with current events or industry trends can also spark interesting conversations. Ultimately, always be thinking about what your target audience want to hear and want to see. Make sure to join the conversation. Don't just broadcast, participate in relevant LinkedIn groups and discussions. Share your thoughts, answer questions, and offer helpful insights. This is a great way to establish yourself as a thought leader and connect with potential clients. Equally, leverage video. Instead of just posting comments, if you've got time, record yourself a little video, post it as that comment. That really builds a connection. Speaking of connections, connect strategically. Focus on building genuine connections with potential clients, not just adding random connections. It's all well and good having 2,000, 3,000 followers, but if they're not in your target audience, then it's pointless. If you want to, you can personalize your connection requests and highlight something you have in common. That's a judgment call. I don't bother. I just hit connect, I hit follow, I ring the bell. Whenever they post, I'll be notified of it. I can then start to nurture them without being a connection of theirs necessarily. If you want to get involved in LinkedIn, then make sure to schedule some time in your diary for this activity and keep going even when you don't see any results. For me, I would say commit to half an hour a day on the platform. Enter DMs when relevant. And remember, although you want to sell in a nice way, your ultimate goal on the platform is to make sales and get leads, right? So make sure that's at the back of your mind every time you're thinking of doing something there. The final lead gen strategy I want to talk to you about today is the lead gen method I'm using right now, podcasting. How meta, right? There are loads of advantages and disadvantages to this lead gen method, and I'll explore this more in depth in the coming weeks with an episode dedicated to podcasting and perhaps an episode where I review my first 20 episodes or something. But for now, let's look at this method at a high level and why you should consider it for one of your lead gen methods. Firstly, it is a credibility catalyst. Regularly delivering informative and engaging content can establish you as an authority in your field. Listeners come to trust your expertise and insights, positioning you as a thought leader. How many of you have listened to a podcast before and then gone on to buy something from the presenter or the company involved? I'm betting there are a fair few of you. I know I have. Podcasting also allows you to have a targeted reach. Unlike traditional radio, podcasts allow you to niche down and identify who your audience is. By focusing on HR for your specific target market, you can attract a highly engaged audience who are genuinely interested in what you have to say. Finally, podcasts aren't confined to the audio realm. The content you create can be repurposed into various formats, maximizing your reach and your value. Think about blogs, LinkedIn posts, ebooks, etc., etc. I share my podcasts as LinkedIn articles, and you can too. There are obviously some potential downsides to consider. Podcasts require consistent content creation. You'll need to brainstorm ideas, script episodes, record audio, and edit it all together. Maintaining a regular release schedule takes dedication. And the worst thing you can do is to start a podcast and then abandon it after a few weeks. Speaking of which, producing high-quality episodes can be very time-consuming. Take it from me. From researching topics to editing audio, there's a lot involved in creating a polished podcast that stands out. It's not just turn up and talk. There's a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes. The final thing to consider is the podcast landscape is growing increasingly competitive. Finding your niche and differentiating yourself from the existing content out there is crucial for attracting and retaining listeners. In summary, podcasting offers a compelling platform to share your voice, connect with an audience, and potentially build a successful brand. However, it requires dedication, expertise, time investment, and a strategic approach to navigate the competitive landscape. If you're ready to take the plunge, here are a few steps to get you started. Firstly, make sure you have a target audience and make sure you understand what they struggle with so you can create content that helps them so they see you as a guide who can help them. Next, plan your content. Develop a format and a theme for your podcast. Will it be solo episodes, interviews, or a mix? Planning your content calendar in advance helps ensure consistency and quality. You might also want to consider investing in basic equipment. You don't need a full-blown studio setup to start. A decent microphone and recording software can go a long way in creating good quality audio. Personally, I just use the microphone from my laptop and I use Loom to make the edits. You might be able to tell. Finally, you need to promote your show. Don't just launch your podcast and hope for the best. Promote it on social media. Submit it to directories. Consider collaborating with other podcasters to reach a wider audience. Finally, review your performance. Most podcasting platforms offer analytics. So track your download numbers, your audience demographics, your engagement metrics. That way you can understand if the investment of podcasting is worth your time. Also review your performance as a podcaster. Make sure you're improving over time. I know my first few episodes were clunkers, but I'm getting better every week. So hopefully I can look back on these episodes in years to come and grimace because I'm so much better. And yes, you also will start out poorly because no matter how much research you do, you still need to actually get out there and do it. And as you'll know from when you did your first disciplinary, the real life situation is a hell of a lot different than the books and the theory, right? Overall, podcasting can be a really rewarding journey. It allows you to share your knowledge, entertain listeners, and potentially build a thriving online community. By weighing up the advantages and disadvantages and taking time to get started, you can determine if this exciting medium is the right fit for you and whether or not it's a great medium to long-term lead gen strategy and something you should consider. For me, it's a definite yes. For you, it's something I would say don't rush into. Consider your options before you get involved. It is a commitment. Anyway, that wraps up another episode of our podcast. We've covered a lot of ground today, exploring some of the most effective lead gen strategies that are available to you as a HR consultant. From the classic approach of cold calling to the modern technique of podcasting, there are loads of options and each strategy has its own unique advantages and disadvantages. But the key is to consider if any or all of these will work for you and your business. If you do try out these strategies, make sure to learn from your experience. And most importantly, keep pushing forward. Success in lead generation is within your reach. And with dedication, discipline, and persistence, you'll soon see those leads turning into clients. You can post about it on LinkedIn when it happens. Tag me, share your journey. I'd love to cheer you on. And remember to push people towards your mailing list, whatever lead gen strategy you decide to use. It's the only way you'll get any security in your business. However, if you weren't loving these options that I've covered today, then fear not, because in the coming weeks, we'll be looking at other potential lead gen strategies you could use. Direct mail, lumpy mail, adverts, etc., etc. So stay tuned to hear about those options. In the meantime, thanks for listening. In a moment, we'll have this week's episode of LinkedIn, what's hot and what's not. But for now, remember, get marketing, because without marketing, there's no sales. And without sales, there's no business. So get marketing. Hey there, and thanks for listening to the Marketing Made Easy for HR Consultants podcast. If you've enjoyed the show, then please consider taking a moment to help us grow by sharing the episode with a friend or colleague, or by leaving a positive review on podchaser.com. And make sure to hit subscribe so you don't miss out on any of the upcoming episodes. I've been your host, Nick Pininski, and if you have any questions or want to know more about today's topic, then reach out to me on LinkedIn. I'd be delighted to hear from you. See you next time. Welcome back to another episode of LinkedIn, What's Hot and What's Not. This week, we're going to talk about how to interact with potential leads. Firstly, what's hot is social selling. As we've just discussed, social selling is all about building genuine connections with the right people on LinkedIn. It's about going beyond just having a profile. It's about actively engaging with others' content by leaving thoughtful comments, asking insightful questions, and even sharing relevant video content you've created. By becoming a valuable contributor to conversations, you establish yourself as a thought leader in your industry, and this can lead to an abundance of leads because you're building trust and authority by repeatedly positioning yourself as an expert. Obviously, we've already discussed this in today's episode, so I won't labor the point. Instead, let's talk about a different angle of positioning and what I like to call the nice guy trap. Phrases like, please get in touch, or I'm ready to hear from you, or I can help you. These can all make you seem overly eager and position you as the one needing the favor, the one desperate for the sale. And that's not the right position to be in. That is not hot on LinkedIn. Remember, you're the expert. Potential clients are coming to you for your help. Project confidence in your interactions. Be polite and professional, but avoid sounding submissive. Think of it this way. You're the doctor with the valuable skills and the knowledge. Potential clients are the patients seeking your expertise. The doctor doesn't seem or appear desperate for patients to come and see them, right? And you should be the exact same. There are more leads and clients out there than you can possibly ever handle. So don't go thinking they're a scarce resource. They're not. But you are, because you're the only one with your skill set, the knowledge, your personality. So stop being so submissive. And that's it for this week's LinkedIn What's Hot and What's Not. What do you think of these suggestions? Let me know on LinkedIn. I'm at Nick Paninsky, and I'd be happy to hear from you. So get in touch and tell me what you're thinking. See you next week.